today's news. Hello, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news of the day through the papers of yesterday. Braddon Bridge today. Back in the news of late, probably not for the right reasons, as there's lots of work going on, bit of a detour for motorists, never goes down well, although the highway department, damned if they do, damned if they don't, I suppose. Hopefully it won't be too long, it's a very busy section of road, so it probably needs a bit of a TLC from time to time. Anyway, set me thinking, what do the papers have to say about Braddon Bridge over the years? Many stories there? Well, yes, there are quite a few. TT does crop up quite a bit, of course, also being quite a dangerous junction over the years, it seems. However, we can go back first off to the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, May the 9th, 1923, with the death of Mr. W. E. Kizik, Mr. William Edward Kizik, a joiner, who died at his residence, the Cottage, Braddon Bridge, on Friday, aged 70 years. He had been in indifferent health for some time, we were told. The late Mr. Kizik carried on business as a joiner and builder at Braddon Bridge for some 35 years, and it's said it is interesting to recall he assisted in the installation of what was probably the first electric lighting plant in the island, namely the lighting of Cronkbourne and the sailcloth factory at Tremode for the late Mr. William Fine Moore, and afterwards had charge of the plant for several years. The deceased was also a member of the Mona Union Tent of the Independent Order of Rechabites for close on 50 years. So in other words, he didn't touch a drop. In early life, he was a member of the Alaman Volunteers and was one of the best rifle shots of his time. He represented the local corps at the National Rifle Meeting at Wimbledon on two or three occasions. The funeral, we are told, took place at Braddon Cemetery on Monday, and dare say the gentleman will be resting in peace there to this day. 1939, before the outbreak of war, Friday the March the 10th, in the Isle of Man Examiner, Braddon Bridge crash, the motorcyclist and passenger injured. A motorcyclist, Mr. William Creer of 2 Cambridge Terrace, Douglas, and his pillion passenger, Miss Dorothy Fellows of Myrtle Street in Douglas, were victims of a crash at Braddon Bridge around 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. The motorcycle was proceeding along the Quarterbridge Road towards Braddon Bridge when it skidded badly and the driver and his passenger were thrown into the road. They were conveyed to hospital in a car driven by Mr. T. Quirk, a baker of Strand Street, Douglas, and both detained. Miss Fellows has sustained head injuries. Mr. Creer suffered cuts about the head. Both happily lived to tell the tale, but one of numerous accidents at Braddon Bridge over the years which made the papers. In the Alaman Examiner of Friday, June the 4th, 1948, in the letterbox, Braddon Bridge. Recently, an accident occurred at Braddon Bridge between a motor vehicle from Douglas crossing the road to proceed up the school hill and a motorcyclist coming from the direction of Union Mills. It is possible that each driver was observing the rules of the road, but owing to the fact of seeing each other too late, the accident took place. "I think, sir," says the writer, "the main cause is the dense screen of trees, which almost completely obliterates the view of a driver approaching the bridge from Douglas. All trees add dignity and grandeur to the countryside, and this particular cluster especially so. But in the interest of road safety, a number of them should be cut down in order that a clear view along the whole length of the bridge may be obtained sufficiently early for a motorist to see any vehicle crossing the bridge. Thus, by both drivers being able to see each other, they could take the necessary precautions. Sincere, etc., etc." There's an editor's note attached to that. "While appreciating our correspondent's observations, in the interest of road safety, we think the same desired result could be achieved by the erection of a large traffic mirror at the foot of School Hill, and thus enable the trees to be preserved. In the public interest, something must be done quickly." There is now, of course, a roundabout there with a single tree in the middle. I'm assuming the other trees did indeed go. TT, of course, well, it's an iconic venue on the TT course of Braddon Bridge. A TT special from Friday, May the 28th, 1948, a few years after the war now. Speeds from Quarterbridge to Braddon Bridge. "For our first timing operations this year, we selected a new stretch of road exactly half a mile from a point above Quarterbridge to Braddon Bridge. This section is visible to a timekeeper situated at Quarterbridge, and it includes, of course, the slow passage around Quarterbridge, with the change down and braking for the corner and the fast accelerating stretch towards Braddon. Times were taken principally on second or third laps, but even with three stopwatches on the go, it was not possible to get everyone, as there were sometimes more than three riders in the section at the same time. As will be seen from the list that follows, fastest of the day, Harold Daniel on his Senior Norton with a speed of 70.9 miles per hour. Johnny Lockett and Eric Briggs not far behind, the first non-Norton being Ted Friend on his AJS, bracketed fourth with Tommy McEwen. Bob Foster on his Velocette was the fastest junior, just over 3 miles per hour slower than Harold. The lightweight class were poorly represented, and the speeds recorded are obviously not the best that can be expected from the 250s. They were down in the 50 miles an hour or so. When we clicked the watch on Tenney, T-E-N-N-I, we thought we would find a winner, for he approached Quarterbridge at a fantastic speed, but it was too fantastic, and Omar Bono very wisely took the slip road instead, stopping only just before the barrier. Omar Bono Tenney, that is a marvellous name. A new one on me, but I dare say he might be a TT classic for all I know. Skipping forward to 1958 in the Green Final. There's a fine paper for you. Saturday, December the 6th, Bradenbridge Query. Mr. W.E. Quayle, MHK, is to ask the chairman of the Highway and Transport Board, Mr. J.B. Bolton, MHK, a question in Tynwald next Tuesday about proposals for improving vision of traffic at Bradenbridge. Not so good, as we have heard. Mr. Quayle, referring to the Strang, will ask why the Braddon Commissioner's reasonable suggestions for improving the visibility were ignored, and why the Commissioner's request for a meeting with the board on the site was refused. Well, sounds depressingly familiar, doesn't it? In the Ramsey Courier, Friday, January the 13th, 1961, a dramatic accident. A driver catapulted into the river. Bradenbridge crash described. A Ramsey man fined £10. Quite a lot of money in 1961. Ralph Stokes of Seamont Road in Ramsey, a married man with three children who described his occupation as a coal digger, was fined £10 by Douglas magistrates on Friday for dangerous driving. He admitted the charge through his advocate, Mr. J.W. Corran. The accident occurred around 1:15 p.m. on Sunday, October the 23rd last. It was only the second time that Mr. Stokes, who qualified to drive in August last, had ridden unaccompanied along the Peel-Douglas Road. An eyewitness, Mr. W.H. Killier of Ivy Cottage, Bradenbridge, said that Mr. Stokes, driving a motorcycle combination, had made no attempt to negotiate the left-hand bend before entering the bridge. He approached it at between 40 and 50 miles per hour. The combination careered across the road, punched a hole in the stone wall, and Stokes was catapulted over the wall into the river below. Sounds very dangerous indeed. He was dragged from deep water, only semi-conscious. Inspector J.J. Clegg, prosecuting, said two men with difficulty pulled him out. It was fortunate those men were on the spot, otherwise I am satisfied he would not have been here today. In evidence, Mr. Stokes told the court he had approached the corner too fast. The sidecar came up on him and it crashed into the wall. He'd been in hospital for 7 weeks and had lost a kneecap. There was no hope of him going back to work for some considerable time. Imposing the fine, the chairman of the bench, Mr. T. Ratcliffe, said it would have been a lot more if you would have been in a position to pay it. Mr. Stokes was ordered to pay £1 in costs, and his licence was endorsed. He was given 3 months to pay. At least he lived to tell the tale, and hopefully drive more carefully in the future. And finally, I'm going to whiz all the way back to the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, October the 5th, 1873. When we are told there are turnips for sale at Bradenbridge. Not on a carton, though, no, acres of them. To be sold by auction by Mr. Taggart at Bala Fletcher adjoining Bradenbridge on Monday, November the 3rd, 1873. About 6 acres of turnips in lots to suit purchases. Sale to commence at 11 o'clock a.m. I wonder how much you had to pay for a lot of turnips. Doesn't say, I'm afraid. Bradenbridge, still there today. The roundabouts probably made it somewhat safer, I dare say, than the old junctions. And the trees, I dare say, some of them have gone. But Bradenbridge then, Bradenbridge now, new news, and of course, old news. Until next week, cheerio. I got nothing to lose. You're gonna be yesterday's news.